Good evening. Nice to see everybody. Have we seen you before?
First time here.
How did you hear about us?
I looked on the website.
Good, welcome. It's two introductions around. You won't remember everybody, but you can hear the names.
Britt, Ritu, Ellie, Samuel,
Ron,
Manfred,
Jeffrey,
Wendy,
Isaiah,
and Angie. So it's nice to be back on the ground again. I went to Burbank over the weekend, landed at Bob Hope Airport, and couldn't get down the stairs. So they have steep stairs leaving the airplane, and I said, oh, don't worry, we have another way. And they had this sort of metal contraption that was at the door of the plane many, many feet above, and you stand in this contraption and it shivers and shakes all the way back down to the ground again. Oh, it was, I felt like a kid. Whee! I taught a little bit of Bodhidharma. Thought about you, Ron. They're studying that whole little book of Red Pine and wanted me to talk about the bloodstream talk teaching that Bodhidharma did. So we just got a bare beginning of it in a whole evening. Very interesting. And then I gave a little Dharma talk in the morning and a writing workshop in the afternoon, so it's a very, very full time. But it's in their house, in the Schneider's house. They've been practicing Zen since Dick Baker suggested that they go and check out Japan, which they did, and they didn't leave. They stayed for years. And studied calligraphy. She's a wonderful artist and a beautiful calligrapher. And he's a writer and teaches English at the university. And they have turned their whole living room into a zendo with tons and zafus everywhere and a beautiful little altar in the middle. And the students come in and bring food and put it in the kitchen, and it's all very cozy. It's sort of the ultimate of householder or lay practice. It feels like everybody's belonging together in a very nice way. However, Jane says that it's not so easy to have not very much privacy because people are coming and going more than she would like sometimes. It's how you pay for that coziness, really. But I was very attracted by it. I thought it was really lovely to see how they were and to feel how we all find some way to accommodate this practice and find ways and places to sit. And everybody has a slightly different way. They do it the Suzuki Roshi way, which is a tiny bit different, but not really. I mean, not enough to bother about. So a lot of talk about lay practice and how we do this if we're not monks and nuns. Everybody is really concerned about it. How do we maintain a true practice and still do what we have to do? It's a fantastic challenge. We are studying the Mountains and Water Sutra of Dogen Zenji. And we just started it last week. It is one of Dogen's most poetic works. And in a way, a rather mysterious work. If you try to read it in a literal way, it is a kind of stretch of the mind or an opening of the mind to a use of words that isn't ordinary. That was very much Dogen's emphasis all the way through his life, that we use words in an ordinary way, and that's the way that encourages us to believe that they're true. It's just our thought. We think, you know, this is this and that is that, and it's such and such a time and such a place, and we take it all for granted in that way, in the ordinary way. And yet if we stop and are present with anything or anywhere, then all those things and wares become much different from what we thought. Much more real. If you're really present with some situation like this one right now, this is the most real that we can get. And all of our thoughts and worries and considerations and foolishness and brilliance are all just a buzz compared to this present moment right here. All of us here together. So Dogen is pointing to both sides. No Zen teacher is ever saying, throw away one part of your mind and just focus on the other one, or on the other many ones. But cultivate your whole life and your whole mind. And not only get from point A to point B in time, so you're not late, but know where you are when you are. And know when you are where you are. And know who you are. So this is a translation by Kaz Tanahashi, who did it with many of the Suzuki Roshi students at San Francisco Zen Center. I don't know who did this one. I could look it up. But then it's been worked on and worked on for years and years, all those translations that Kaz did. And it's very different from, and I thought of you, Jeffrey, this one that came out of Kanet Roshi's tradition, and it's based on her translation, but somebody redid the whole of Shogo Genso so that they have a whole collection just like Kaz does. And it's very different. It's really remarkably different. So Kaz reads this, and I'm reading it that way because that's how it sounds to me through my teacher, as talking about practice as a part of nature. But the Kenneth Roshi take on it is that the mountains are really great masters of Zen, and the waters are, and that these are instructions about how to practice with a teacher And so it sounds very different. And yet it's Dogen. So it's good to know this and good to take to heart Dogen's original instruction not to swallow anything, any teaching, any information without testing it with your own sense of what's true. We read these things with deep respect, and those who translate it translate with deep respect, and a lot of struggle, because Dogen's words were so difficult to translate, and yet all the way through, whatever we hear, not all of it feels true to us. Sometimes because we haven't developed enough, that we're not ripe enough to understand it, and sometimes it's because it maybe isn't really true, or certainly isn't true in our context. Our context is so different from medieval Japan in the mountains. I mean, we're here in this great, enormous, very busy, can't even call it a city, it's so big. It's so different. So, that's just for your information. This one is not so poetic. It's much more teachy. And this one is a bit more poetic. So, why don't we read this first? It starts with, "You may not notice that you study the Green Mountains," and goes on the other page to the line. Would somebody like to read? Ron? Thank you. All the way through.
And to the line above a stoicism?
Yes.
You may not notice that you study the Green Mountains, even numerous worlds of phenomena as your standard. Clearly examine the Green Mountains walking and your own walking. Examine walking backward and backward walking, and investigate the fact that walking forward and backward has never stopped since the very moment before form arose, since the time of the King of the Empty Aeon. If walking had stopped, Buddha ancestors would not have appeared. If walking ends, the Buddha Dharma cannot reach the present. Walking forward does not cease. Walking backward does not cease. Walking forward does not obstruct walking backward. Walking backward does not obstruct walking forward. This is called the mountains' flow and the flowing mountains. Green mountains thoroughly practice walking, and eastern mountains thoroughly practice traveling on water. Accordingly, These activities are mountainous practice, keeping its own forms without changing body and mind. A mountain always practices in every place. Don't slander by saying that a green mountain cannot walk and an eastern mountain cannot travel on water. When your understanding is shallow, you doubt the phrase, green mountains are always walking. When your learning is immature, you are shocked by the words, flowing mountains. Without fully understanding even the words, flowing water, you drown in small views and narrow understandings. Yet, the characteristics of mountains manifest their form and life force. There is walking, there is flowing, and there is a moment when a mountain gives birth to a mountain child. Because mountains are Buddha ancestors appear in this way. Even if you have an eye to see mountains as grass, tree, earth, rock, or walls, do not be confused or swayed by it. This is not complete realization. Even if there is a moment when you view mountains as the seven treasures' splendor, this is not returning to the source. Even if you understand mountains as the realm where all Buddhas practice, this understanding is not something to be attached to. Even if you have the highest understanding of mountains as all Buddha's wondrous characteristics, the truth is not only this. These are conditioned views. This is not the understanding of Buddha ancestors, but merely looking through a bamboo pipe at a corner of the sky. Turning circumstances and turning mind is rejected by the great sage. Speaking of mind and speaking of essence is not agreeable to Buddha ancestors. Seeing into mind and seeing into essence is the activity of people outside the way. Confined words and phrases do not lead to liberation. There is something free from all of these views. That is, green mountains are always walking and eastern mountains travel on water. Study this in detail.
So one of Dogen's biggest subjects and emphasis is about action. How it is that action acts? We, in our hubris, say, I act. It's me doing this. Even though we know that we're certainly not beating our heart or digesting our food. In fact, billions of people in our gut are digesting our food. If you think about who we are in sheer physical terms, we couldn't move a muscle if we weren't being supported and sustained by all these vast numbers of people. E. coli being only one of the many. It's a very curious idea. But that's still a very physical and, in a way, a kind of superficial way of speaking about the action that Dogen is speaking of. He's talking about how it is that we walk. And I think for our Zen practice, that's such an interesting question. Everything is walking, i.e., everything is moving constantly. Even the house is moving a little bit, and every now and then everything moves like it just did in Mexico. It's a constant adjustment that's going on and a constant life flow that's going on, so that there really is no end to the walking that's happening as we are, as all things are. In that sense, we have to ask, what's walking? How is this? So our Kinyan is a wonderful practice for this. It's so simple and restrained, and yet we're this really awesome two-legged thing managing not to fall down step by step by step. And if we think we're walking in Kinyan, we get very awkward. So it's a great practice. If you're not trying not to make noise and not trying to do it right, if you're not self-conscious in Kinyan, it flows. We can all experience that. And if we get uptight about it, there are some people who really don't like Kinyan because it just makes them so uncomfortable and self-conscious. And then you're off balance. It's very hard to keep your feet. So it turns out to be a kind of partnership with the whole generation of the body's energy and activity, which is way beyond us, and our own sense of balance and intention to stay upright. And in the sense of Kinyan, we're not even going anywhere, we're just taking a step and being there and then taking another step. So Kinyan is a wonderful example of it. So seeing things as they are, he talks about all these different ways of seeing things. Seeing things as they are is part of it, he says, but don't be swayed by it. Don't take things for granted. Don't take what we think we know as what we actually know, or what's actually true. I always say an open scientific mind of curiosity is very helpful. What is this really? And seeing things as Dharma treasures. I mean, when we sit, we see things in all kinds of ways, and Dharma treasures, we begin to see how precious everything is when we stand up and go out. If our hearts are open and we're softened up, we begin to see how precious everything is. And sometimes we see things as Buddha's realm. This is all Buddha's realm. And even sometimes we can see that it's all Buddha itself. And yet, Dogen says, that's like looking through a bamboo pipe at a corner of the sky. It's just a teeny little piece of it. It's all conditioned views. It's all ideas based on other ideas. It's confined by words. So what is free from all of our views. What happens when we let go of our attachment to our ideas? What happens if we just open ourselves to the way things are without trying to confine it to some kind of definition or some kind of judgment about whether it's a good thing or a bad thing for me? This is what he's pointing to. How to accept the weather without adding to it with our own ideas about how it should be. How to accept our family without adding to it some kind of idea about how it should be. All the should-be things really aren't very helpful in the face of what really is there, here. Of course, we can correct what we feel we need to correct, but we only can do that if we really experience what's there first. And let it be wholly what it is so that we can experience it. Then if we see something that we can do for it, to do for it, then we know where to put our hand. We're not making it up. So, so turning circumstances and turning mind is rejected by Buddha. Speaking of mind and speaking of essence is not agreeable to Buddha ancestors. So this is all the philosophizing. This is all trying to figure it all out. Seeing into mind and seeing into essence is the activity of people outside the way. Confined words and phrases do not lead to liberation. There is something free from all these views. And that is, green mountains are always walking and eastern mountains travel on water. In other words, let it go. And let it be. Let it move. And act. And be that movement and action at the same time. Are there questions?
Could you talk to green mountains thoroughly practice walking and eastern mountains thoroughly practice traveling on water?
Well, he gets into the water later. He says that Eno, the sixth patriarch, walked on water. So this is also pointing to suggestions for us about how to be. And water, of course, flows. And so I think he's pointing to the more flowing part of it and the more slightly more solid part of it, in that there's a difference, but it's just a difference of practice, of not of truth. The green mountain might look more solid than the mountain on the water, but it's all flowing.
the story of the Bible of Peter, he walked on the water.
Yes. Yes. Well, it was magical, but it was also showing his understanding, his faith and his insight.
Jesus told him that if you have to, it's simple, you just have to have the faith.
Yes.
Okay, I'll try it.
Yes.
And then the minute he got a little coffee about it, he sunk.
Yeah. That's what happens. Sandra?
When you were talking, walking forward and backwards, kind of made me think of time and the future and the past and the present that we pretend not to be in.
Yes.
Couldn't quite get it together.
Well, he has a whole chapter on time that's about that. And how, in one sense, we're always on going forward or backward. And in another sense, we're right here all the time, and the time is this time only. In forward and backward also, it's that we're all connected to the past as well as the future. So as somebody's told me not long ago, there's an image of an angel who is standing in the wind with her back to the future, looking at the past and being blown into the future as she walks into the past, so that the whole thing is embraced in one image. Or like the Ketchimiyaku, the lineage chart that shows a big circle at the top and then all the names going like this, and then it goes all the way back up to the circle again. So, and anybody can step into that line if they take the precepts. So even though there's a 1,000-year-old Buddha up at the top, a little puny us can just step into the same line, and it goes all the way back up to the circle at the top. So this whole thing about forward and backward is much trickier than we usually think about.
This walking on water is a tricky thing, but it reminded me of the cover of the Red Pine thing about Bodhidharma.
Yes.
The Chinese painting or painting of Bodhidharma, he's walking on water. He's got a little pole or stick. One over the shoulder and maybe a shoe in front.
That's part of the story. Yeah. They don't know where he went.
The water flows. It's pretty tricky to walk on.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you walk with the flow. Next week we will read what I'm calling number 3, which will start with a stone woman. Actually, it's pretty long, but I think that's fine. From the stone woman to the next page, that first paragraph, I've personally seen and heard many people like this. So if you want to prepare ahead of time, that's what we have.